Hi, this is Travis Robertson. Thank you for downloading the Lake Norman Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at lakenormancoc.org. We would also like for you to visit with us at a worship service. You are always welcome at the Lake Norman Church of Christ.
Tell you what, after class, after that song, I think we understand fellowship. Not sure why we need this sermon. Amen. I heard that. When you think of fellowship, what comes to mind? I know when I, growing up, heard the word fellowship, usually it came with food. There were crock pots, there were casseroles, there were all kinds of goodies. There were the desserts that people spent hours making. And I would look forward to going to the fellowship meal after services, right? You're waiting for that. And then you can smell it. You know, that's probably the worst part about it. You're here for worship and you're sitting in the auditorium and you're worshiping God, and yet you can smell what's cooking on the other side of the door. And it's coming in and you're just like, oh, I can't wait for it. But you think about that and you recognize, while it is a fellowship meal, we're sitting down together and we are sharing this food with one another. That's really what fellowship is all about, is that being in common with one another, in communion with one another, sharing and giving, all those things coming together in that instance. This morning, as we have come together, we are in fellowship, as we are singing to our God, as we are partaking of the Lord's Supper. Also, we call that what? Communion, right? So we see this fellowship and we understand it to those degrees, and we like it, we love it, we want to be around one another. Fellowship is important. And what it is a sharing with one another. I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and we see just right from the beginning of the church, this fellowship that occurs. And when you think about the book of Acts, it really is one of the books of history that we have in the New Testament. You might find some historical facts from other letters and other things, but really the book of Acts gives us a bunch of history that we need to be paying attention to, especially when it comes to the church. And in Acts chapter 2, after Peter has preached and he's encouraged them, they've interrupted him asking, what shall we do? And he's encouraged them again with more words. You see, starting in verse 42, the encouragement here says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to what? Fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Look down at verse 44. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And that is fellowship. And you see it starting right at the beginning. And there is an encouragement for us. When we started, when Lake Norman started, I wasn't here. But there's some of you here today that were here when it started. How many people were here? A handful, right? And it started over in that little white house over there, and we see that. But you were in fellowship, and you were encouraging one another, and you were building one another up, and you were reaching out to others to invite them into this fellowship, to let them know what it means to be in Christ, and to see how we all share these things that we have in common. And so one of the first things about fellowship is that we share a mutual relationship. We have this mutual part that's in common with us. And of course, that starts with Jesus. We all have that initial starting point. The thing that we are unified on is our faith in Jesus. That's what brings us together. And then we begin all those other things, as we read about in Acts chapter 2. Jesus brought us together, and then we begin to share in all the other things like breaking of bread and prayer and the fellowship meals that I talked about at the beginning. Think about the attitude of sharing with one another. When you talk about fellowship, it is an attitude. If you want to have fellowship, there's got to be some sharing. That has to be going on. It's not just that, well, we all have faith in Jesus. Yeah, that's what brings us together, but the fellowship is the fact that we're really sharing with each other. We're a part of each other's lives. It talks about in the book of Acts, them going house to house, breaking the bread, praying, being devoted to the apostles' teaching, doing all those things. They're encouraged to be a part of one another's life. And as was talked about this morning in class, it's not just the three times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Yeah, those are opportunities to be in fellowship as we worship, as we study God's word, as we do those things. The fellowship is much more than that. It's not just a 3 hour a week thing. We should be in fellowship much more often. We need to be calling one another. We need to be concerned. We need to be in prayer for one another. As we think about the struggles that have been given, for instance, on the board that we have up here, these prayer requests that were just given this morning, people that are traveling, people that are sick, people that have had surgeries, people that are having reactions to medication, and we're praying for them. We're also sharing with them. What can we do for them? Maybe it's bringing a meal. Maybe it's going with them as they go into surgery and praying with them there. Maybe it's visiting with them when they have no one else to turn to. Sharing our time with them, sharing with others is a key component. And that's what these Christians in the first century really took part in, was sharing with one another. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Here Paul is trying to encourage the Corinthians to give, to help those poor saints in Jerusalem. And one of the ways that he does it is he encourages them by how the Macedonians are wanting to share with others, with their brethren. Starting in verse 1, he says, "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints." Notice that? They wanted to share. They recognized the connection that they had with their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. They recognized the connection that they had with the kingdom of God. We talked about that a little bit last week, and the fact that we are all part of the kingdom. Here we are, the church locally. You've got the church universally, and we're all part of that kingdom. And we should be sharing and helping and encouraging one another when able, when possible, when it is needed. And the Christians in Macedonia said, "Paul, we want to help them. Paul, we might not have much, we might be poor, but clearly we have more than what those in Jerusalem have. And we need to give, and we need to help them. And because we are in fellowship, because we are united in Christ, we're going to do everything we can to help those poor saints in Jerusalem." And then we also see this partnership with God. A partnership with God. We are in fellowship with Him. We see that in 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, which we spent a great deal on in class this morning. And I'm very thankful for Derek and his idea of, hey, can we start teaching on maybe the topics of the sermons and see how that goes? because I'm not able to give everything I would like to in a sermon in about 20 to 30 minutes. And that gives us an extra 30 to 40 minutes in class to talk even more and even more deeply. And not only that, you get to hear me preach for 20 to 30 minutes, but you don't really get to say much, do you? You don't get to participate in that way. And in class, you get to participate. And somebody says something and you go, hey, that reminds me of this. And it's wonderful to hear and share in the study of God's Word. And here in 1 John chapter 1, I want you to start with me up in verse 1. We'll go down through verse 7. But notice that this is John saying, I'm telling you all these things so that you can have that fellowship, so that you can have the joy that comes with this fellowship. Let's start reading verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see that? The whole reason John, the apostles, those witnesses, he's saying, what we have seen and what we have heard, we are proclaiming to you. Why? So that you can have fellowship with God, so that you can have fellowship with us, so that you can have fellowship with one another, because you are in Christ, you are in the light, you have gained all of those blessings. When I think about the church, I think about the blessings that we have received. Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 says we have been given all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And this is one of those blessings, is the fellowship, the sharing that we have, the sharing of our faith, the sharing of our food, the sharing of our money, coming together to help those who are in need, the sharing of being next to you when you lose a loved one and crying with you those tears of sadness, or being with you when your son or daughter graduates from high school and college, or they're getting married and you're crying, but they're not necessarily tears of sadness, but they're tears of joy. And we have that joy because of the fellowship that we have together in Christ. And this fellowship that we have with God, that we are carrying out the same thing that John was doing. As an apostle, as a messenger of God, as an ambassador of God, he is proclaiming that message. And now that we are in fellowship with God, as we have obeyed the gospel, what are we supposed to do? Because we're in fellowship with God, we are to be doing His work too. And we're encouraging others to recognize their need for salvation, their need for Jesus in their lives. They might not know it, but they need Him. There was a time when we didn't know it, and then we recognized, Jesus is what I need. He's been missing this whole time. I didn't realize it. I thought all these other things would help me, and instead they've just brought me down. They've hurt me. They've taken me and torn me away from my family. And I'm losing everything. But now that I've seen Jesus, now that I know him, now that I have him, I'm starting to pick up the pieces. I recognize that he was the missing piece all along. Fellowship is important. People just simply need people. Isn't it wonderful that God's designed it that way? And when you think about God as the creator, he created you, he created me. In my mother's womb, he knew me, right? And it wasn't like he just wanted one person. You know, Adam, you're the only one I need. We're not even going to, I thought about Eve, but you know, we're not going to do that. I just want fellowship with one person. No, he created it in such a way that he recognized man needs encouragement. Man needs fellowship. Just like I am desiring fellowship with man, he needs fellowship too. And if you go back to Genesis chapter 2, you read about the fact that here's the creation of the world, here's the animals, here's all these things. And God parades the animals before Adam, and Adam names them, and he saw elephants, and he saw monkeys. I don't know if he used those terms. Those are our English terms for those animals, but he names them. And as it goes through there, it says, there was not found a helper suitable. There wasn't an animal there that could really, truly share and have fellowship with Adam. Therefore, you see Eve, and you see Adam name her, whoa, man, right? Woman. Whoa, right? That's all I got to say. But they have this fellowship, they have this relationship, and they're supposed to share with one another. We see fellowship in all different relationships, within the marriage relationship, within the family dynamic, with brothers and sisters, with parents and grandparents and grandchildren. And you see this, all these different fellowships, all these different relationships. We talking about the word fellowship this morning, it was brought up, and she said, just thinking like a geek, right? The Lord of the Rings. It was called the Fellowship of the Ring, and how they needed one another to get the job done, to take that ring where it needed to be destroyed. If you've ever read the book or seen the movie, if you didn't, sorry. spoiler alert after I've spoiled it. But you see this fellowship come about, and you see these relationships form as they strive to do this one thing together. And here we are together in Christ, sharing with one another, growing together, encouraging one another, building each other up, recognizing that everything we do has purpose because of what God has done through His Son. I mentioned before the book of Acts has a lot of information within it, history-wise. Turn over to Chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, we see the need begins to arise for those that are struggling within Jerusalem. The church hasn't quite spread out into all those different places like Macedonia and Samaria and Antioch and all those places yet. We're still before that time. It's still here in Jerusalem, but you start to see this sharing occurring with the believers. Starting in verse 32, it says, "And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power of the apostles, with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each one as they had need. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And so you see the sharing that they had with one another. When you think about the account of the Good Samaritan, as we call it, you have the robber that comes about and beats up this man, strips him, takes everything he owns, and he's left for dead. You see the priest and the Levite walk by, and they might have what the man needs at the time to help him, but they decide they're not going to. And then you see the Samaritan come by, and he sees this man, and he helps him. He takes care of him. He puts him on his donkey. He carries him to an inn. He says, "Hey, I've done what I can. Keep him here. Here's money for now. When I come back, I'll pay you more if he needs more. And whatever else he needs, do it. I'll pay for it." See, there you see a man who said, "What I have, what I own, if you need it more than me, it's yours. I will share it. I will gladly give it." And that's what you see happening here with the Christians in Acts chapter 4. There are those who are finding themselves in need for various reasons. And those who had said, I have a tract of land and we don't really need it. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to sell it. And I'm going to help fill your need with what I've been blessed with. And you see that fellowship happening, and it's a beautiful thing. There is fellowship like that happening here. I know that it's behind the scenes. I know it's not something that's out in front of everyone, that, hey, so-and-so shared some money with somebody else today. No, we're not doing that. That's not the purpose of it anyway. I know people are helping each other out. They say, I know you don't have everything you need this month. Here's some money to help you along the way. That's happening here. That's sharing. That's fellowship. That's love. Really, when you get down to it, that's what that agape love is all about. You're concerned about the best interests of others. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Starting in verse 1. "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind. Regard one another as more important than yourself." That's where you see that fellowship happening. That's when that sharing comes about. You see, if you're selfish, if you've got that selfish conceit as he's talking about there, there's no sharing, there's no fellowship. But when you're selfless, and you love one another, and you have fellowship of the Spirit as he talks about here, you're willing, desiring, wanting to share because you see the purpose in it with God in your life. There are a number of responsibilities that we have in regards to being in the fellowship of God. We need to develop a mutual care for one another. Sometimes we're naturally gifted in that area, where we just have a natural care for others. It was something we had growing up. Some of us, that's a learned thing, where we really want to care for others. We might have cared for our own, but I don't know you that well. And we've got to start reaching out and getting to know people. There's a responsibility in the fellowship of God to get to know your brothers and sisters, to invite them to your house, to go house to house, to do these things so that you can truly share with one another. We need to seek out the presence of our brothers and sisters. There are opportunities given, not just the Sunday and Wednesday times for studies and worship, but there are other opportunities given with the teen hangouts to host one, to have them in your home with some of the young adults that are getting together and you're getting ready to shoot each other with paintballs, right? Some of those things are going to be happening soon, but we're sharing, right? That's a sharing activity right there. But those things are going on and they're happening, and take part, seek it out. And maybe when there's something that you see, we could be doing better, we could be sharing more in a different capacity. It's not even happening right now. Say, hey, elders, could we maybe do this? Do we have an opportunity to take part in doing whatever you're thinking of? Don't be shy, because I know you've been thinking of things. We think of stuff all the time. And most of the time, instead of doing anything, we just complain about it, right? Like, oh man, I wish they did this like we did back home. No. But we don't ever really talk about it and share and want to see if that's something that we could really apply here. And maybe it would be one of the best things we do as a congregation. Seek out the presence of your brothers and sisters. We need to share with those who have need, as we just talked about with Acts chapter 4, with Philippians, with the Good Samaritan. We need to share. There are a number of responsibilities there. But I think one of the biggest things for some of you here this morning is it starts with your fellowship with God. Have you begun that relationship? Have you started it? You have opportunity today to begin that relationship, obeying the words that the apostles, as John talked about, what we saw and what we heard, we have shared with you so that you can have this fellowship. Well, if you've read those words and you recognize who Jesus is and what he's done for you, you recognize the fact that you have to confess your faith, that you actually believe that he is who he said he was, who he said he is, that he is the Son of God, that he is Lord. You recognize the fact that you're going to have to repent. There are some things in your life that need to change. And that might be a thing that doesn't happen just instantaneously. Repentance isn't one of those things that just fixes itself in one day. It might be a process that you have to go through to really change some of those choices that you've made in your life that you recognize are leading you down the wrong path. And you need to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, being sealed by Him, having God on your side, where He knows you. I want you to think about that for a second. He knows you right now. He created you. But those who are in fellowship with Him, there's a different kind of knowing. And you don't have that when you're sitting outside of that fellowship. If you're ready to be a part of the fellowship of God, with the fellowship of the brothers and sisters here at Lake Norman, and you're ready to put on your Lord and Savior in baptism, please come forward while we stand. and while we sing.
All to Jesus.